I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and I do welcome you to this hour of the program. I have to read you a letter that is just going to turn you around today. And I think it especially tickles me, because, you know, I come in the morning. I don't mean tickle, ha-ha. Tickle like sneeze, you know, unpleasant tickle. Because as I, well, let me start. I got my mind a little blown today. Every year I nag all of you women to get your mammogram. So this morning was mine. I try to be a good role model. Everything's fine. And they do the mammogram. They do the ultrasound. They do the, you know, poking around. They do all of that. So you're covered six ways from Sunday. And I go to the same place, same fabulous doctor in Santa Monica, California. He is fabulous, and he's the master at this. He has caught breast cancers that reputable places have missed. And I know this for a fact. It's very scary. That's why I see him, because he just has an instinct. You know, there are some people who are just blessed with certain sensitivities, and he's very good at what he does. I would fly from... If I moved out of state, I would fly in once a year just to have a mammogram with him. And everybody in the office is wonderful. Well, why not? It's the Women's Breast Center in Santa Monica. Lawrence Resnick, M.D. There you go. Yeah, well, we'll get a lot of calls now. He's really good. And he's really nice. Everybody in there is nice. So, you know, because it's a nervous-making thing to do. But anyway, that's what I did this morning. So I already had some anxiety, because I didn't imagine anything was wrong. But still, you're going in for a mammogram, and some percentage of people, some percentage of the time, have an issue to deal with, all right? So nobody's immune. So the traffic is going very slowly, and we're creeping to get on the freeway. Creeping. But fortunately, we left in enough time, and I knew no matter what, we'll get there. And as we're coming onto the freeway, we're about five car lengths from coalescing. And I notice, we both notice over our left shoulder, the guy has pulled over in a big van. And he's come around to the passenger side. He's opened the door, and I thought, why is he shaking that bag? It was an instant thought, because it looked like he was shaking a bag. Whoever was sitting next to him died. Right then and there, on the freeway, at 7:45 a.m. And it was horrifying. He had a cell phone. He was already calling 911. I'm not an MD, but the way he was reacting and the way the guy was, it was clear. And I'm not equipped to do anything about it. I'm a marriage and family therapist. So, and thank God it was right on the on-ramp, because they could get there quickly. And we're driving along, and I'm going to a mammogram. And I said, I bet he had plans for this weekend. And there are family and friends who have no clue. And he just died. I'm assuming, but believe me. Oh, and it just puts in your mind how, if you're here in the next second, don't waste it and appreciate it. And then I come in, and I go through, I get about a ream of faxes before I even come in. And this was near the top, and that's why I chose it to read first. I am hoping you might read this letter on air or publish it on your website because of a recent tragic event that took place in my life and how your new book, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands, might have helped me cope with what I'm experiencing and might help other women who have been behaving such as I. I've had the divine pleasure of being with the man of my dreams, my soulmate, my husband, for the past 23 years. We've had our ups and our downs, as every married couple, but for the most part, it was a perfect marriage, at least from my perspective. We did not have any children together, but my husband took my then 3-year-old daughter into his life as if she were his own and helped me to raise a thoughtful, caring, and responsible young woman. He never referred to her as his stepdaughter, only his daughter. 3 years ago, our daughter gave birth to our first grandchild, a beautiful little girl. My husband and I had the honor to be present in the room when she entered the world, and it was one of the few times I ever saw tears in my husband's eyes. The little girl stole her grandpa's heart from the moment he met her. My husband would listen to your show. Secretly, I think, because his coworkers would kid him about it. I, too, listen almost daily. He would come home from work and on occasions ask me if I heard the show that day and tease me about Dr. Laura would rip into me if she knew I had done this or that. You see, I have often behaved quite selfishly in our relationship, especially over the past 5 or 6 years. I became comfortable, lazy in meeting his needs, not interested in his hobbies as much as I used to be, absorbed into mine, and I did not see how my behavior was affecting him. My husband was the kind of man who would always smile, which caused others to as well, even when he was down or unhappy that day. He always had a kind thing to say about everyone he met, would drop what he was doing to lift a hand to lend a hand to a family or friend, would do anything to make me happy. And I'd always assumed he was happy, but recently I realized he was missing something in his life. Me. On January 14th, I ordered 2 copies of your book online, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands, one for myself and one for my daughter. I told my husband that I'd ordered your book, and he smiled at me. I told him that I wanted to learn to be a better wife for him. He told me I was a great wife, that he was happy, and all he wanted was a little more intimacy from me from time to time. I knew he wanted more, but he often withheld sharing his feelings because he was just that kind of guy. 2 weeks had passed since ordering the book, and my husband began asking me if the book had come yet. He asked me several times in that second week. I think he was anxious to read it himself. I meant to follow up on the order that following Monday. Sunday, February 1st. My husband died in a motorcycle accident at the age of 46. He had just gotten a new Harley, something he had dreamed of for many years, but we were never in a financial situation to do so until recently. I was nervous about him buying this bike, but gave in to his desire and dream because he was so giving, generous, and supportive of me, I felt he deserved this thing that was to bring him such joy. On February 2nd, I received an email from the Dr. Laura shop informing me that I had given the wrong credit card number, and if I would contact them, please, to provide the correct information, the order would be filled. I replied and asked that the order be canceled because I no longer had a husband to read this book for. I've been coping with the loss of my husband as best I can. I never knew just how a person really felt when losing a loved one until now. The what-ifs and I should-haves for my husband continue to fill my mind because I had every intention of performing the what-ifs and I should-haves. I was just too busy at the time to give his needs and wants the attention they deserved. As I look back now, those needs and wants were really very simple. I regret that I did not have this book to read before my husband died. I would have wanted him to know that he was loved, respected, and admired by his wife, and that he was the perfect husband. I didn't tell him that often enough. I hope he knew. I intend to buy your book soon because I know what my husband was thinking and feeling during our marriage. Perhaps one day I will meet another man who is as wonderful as my husband was, and I will be armed with the knowledge and power to make him as happy and fulfilled as a man as I have hoped my husband was. I would much rather have my husband here with me so I could tell him and show him this now. I will no longer take living for granted, nor will I fuss over the things that really have no importance or value in my life, as I have just recently discovered just how very short our time on this planet can be. I'll be right back. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger, my number 1-8. Still choked up. During the break, I called Connie, who wrote that letter, and chatted with her during the break. She hadn't heard it yet. Okay. So we're it's a small thing, but husband's name was Gary, and just made out a book to her in memory of Gary, as she said, the perfect husband. It's not a consolation, but these things you have to suffer through inside yourself when you have such a horrible loss. But it's I'm sure there are millions of people out there who heard that letter, who sent good feelings in her direction, and that's a good thing.